The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. And when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets entering the kingdom of God, and you yourself cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at the table of God in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some who are first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The gradual. It is good to give praise to the Lord, to sing his holy name, the Most High, to show forth your mercy in the morning and your truth in the night. We contemplate that as we listen to it beautifully sung. And this is so much about what, it's kind of, strangely enough, it's about what the gospel is about. It is good to give praise to the Lord and sing to the name of the Most High. What do you think we're going to be doing in eternity? It's going to be awesome and far beyond the last thing, the far beyond the best thing that you can possibly imagine. Just completely breaks all of our ideas and thoughts about it. And what I want to do is talk about that moment of entering into the kingdom of God. And we have some, not just from scripture, but we also have some other examples we can lean on. But the gospel kind of here cues it up for us, because he's speaking about that. So the people know that there is such a thing as being saved and not being saved. And they're asking him, "So is this like hard? Is a lot, a few of us?" I don't know, maybe maybe the individual who's asking is trying to gauge where they might be, and I don't know, am I good, or do I have to change something? And so, "Lord, will only a few be saved? Is it just going to be a couple?" Or, and then our Lord's answer is not say, "Oh yeah, don't worry about it, I got you, it's going to be a piece of cake." No, his response is, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate." And we have a big double doors back there. It's pretty easy to get in here. But just imagine this little tiny, you got to squeeze through. You have to work towards it. You aim for it. And it's like a long journey. It's like he's saying, and he says very explicitly, "Many, I tell you, will attempt to enter." They're trying, but will not be strong enough. And then the criteria is saying that some of these people who strive to enter or try to enter but are not strong enough say that they have some kind of relationship with the master. Say, "Hey, open up. You know, as we ate and you drank and you ate and drank your company, you were in our streets, you know, you saw us around." And he says, "I do not know where you are from. Depart from me," and the key word, "all you evildoers." Evildoers. Like that was the thing they couldn't shake. That was the thing they couldn't let go of. The thing that they weren't strong enough to leave behind is doing evil. Now, just on Tuesday, I was having breakfast with a good friend of mine, and he shared with me a book that he was reading, and I said, oh my gosh, I need to get that. And the name of the book is Imagine the God of Heaven, Near-Death Experiences, God's Revelation, and the Love You've Always Wanted. Let me read that one more time. The name of the book, Imagine the God of Heaven, Near-Death Experiences, God's Revelation, and the Love You've Always Wanted. This is a newer book. It came out in 2023. The author is John Burke. He's an evangelical. That comes out a little bit. You can kind of see, hey, that was kind of an evangelical take right there. But anyways, it's really good, and I recommend it. And so I started listening to it. I'm only halfway through, but I said, oh, I got to preach about this. This is so awesome. This is incredible. Because what he did is he took the testimony of 1,000 people who have had near-death experiences and studied them and analyzed them and started to like categorize it to try to see what are the commonalities between all of these. And it wasn't just Christians or evangelicals. They had agnostics, Muslims, Hindu, non-Christians, atheists, yeah, and then some Catholics and other products. So he had a very wide sample that he pulled from. And he sets it up well, because it explains, listen, each one of the stories is very unique in the sense that the individual is having a very intimate, particular experience. And sometimes the way that they explain it uses the language that they're familiar with. And so if they're a Hindu, they might talk about it using Hindu terminology and so forth. But he says, like, when you factor in for that and look at what they are all saying that is in common, you see that there's some real trends. And these are individuals who have had some kind of a medical situation where they might be dead on the operating table for 45 minutes. There's one that was like 2 hours. There's situations like that, brain dead, no brain activity whatsoever. There are just any number of different circumstances. And they say that while their body was in that state, their soul separated out of their body, and they were brought before God, traveled to God in some capacity or another. But they're also at the same time able to, when they first come out of their body, they're like seeing their own body, but from up above. There's one lady who said she could see on the top of the ceiling fan in the operating room, the red sticker that was on top of the top of the bladed ceiling fan. That was part of the reason she could go back and say, no, I tell you, I was out of my body. And she said, climb up there on the ladder and look, I'm telling you, there's a red sticker up there. And so these really powerful experiences. Now, these are not revelation. And so you have to, as you go through these, it's not saying like everything is true exactly in the way they reported it, because they're still trying to interpret what they've experienced using different terminology that they from their different religious or non-religious backgrounds. And what God has given us for our salvation is Scripture and the tradition of the church. And so we also want to use that as a reference point. It's just not like what anybody who went and came back from the dead, whatever they say is the gospel truth. Well, let's think about that. But when we look at this and see things that are dead in line with everything that Scripture has been telling us, then it's like, well, pay attention to that. Pay attention to that. With some of the things that they would be reporting, he has a nice little graphic in there. It's like, the vast majority speak of seeing not a God among gods, but coming themselves in front of the author of all creation. And that's not even if they're Christian or they're coming from like polytheistic things. Or they're saying the same. No, I realize all those other guys, I was expecting to see them, but that's not who I saw. It was the God and the only God. The vast majority speak of light and love. Light and love, and an overwhelming love, an all-encompassing love, a love that just goes beyond. It's a love that grows and like continues. It's like loving them intimately and personally, exactly who they are. A number of them speak about having a life review. where they're able to see their entire life in a moment, and everything good that they've done, good in God's eyes, and they know what's and good at, in their own eyes, and also it's simultaneously everything that they did where they fell short, that was evil, the evildoers, and bad or sinful or selfish. Most of them also speak about going through some kind of a tunnel and the light being at the end of the tunnel. Over 73% experience a profound change and a change in their life afterwards, after they come back. A profound change, and one that actually lasts, not just like for a couple months, but like even having permanent life changes that get inked in, and then and even a decade later, they've still changed. So what I wanted to do is just pull a couple excerpts for this. Again, I'm only halfway through the book, and I'm like, and it's just really a powerful testimony. So I'm going to read a couple. So if you forgive me reading, but it's just worth it. So here's one individual, Santosh Arachi. He was had a major heart attack, and was clinically dead already. And then he was wondering what was going to happen, because he came out of his body and realized he was there. And I'll just read here now. I was wondering, and I saw a bright light coming toward me. I could see my body laying on the hospital bed. This light was so bright. I knew that this light has superior authority, and I had to obey that light. No one had to tell me, I just knew. When the light came near me, he engulfed me with his radiance, and all that I could see was a divine light. I immediately fell in love with the divine light. I knew the light's purpose was not to harm me, but to protect me. I felt safe. Santosh had grown up in a conservative Hindu family in India, and his father was a Sanskrit scholar and a Hindu priest, and so that's the only thing he knew growing up. But what he's describing is exactly what Jesus Christ talks about, his father. There's another one here, another individual. He said, I saw tens of thousands of beings dressed in white gowns, all facing the light, and in the service of the light, they were, and apparently singing praises to the light. That song. The light was filled with the most extraordinary, overwhelming, and indescribable feeling of love. The light spoke in a man's voice, firm and direct, saying, go back. You have a great deal to learn. There's one more that speaks about the life review here. This is another individual. I saw a light brighter than the sun, but easy to look at. I knew this was God. He knew all my thoughts, all my good and bad deeds, and yet I felt an overwhelming, unconditional love and acceptance in his presence. On the other side, you understand things in light, at light speed. As fast as I could ask a question, my mind had the answer. In God's presence, I watched a 3D panoramic view of my entire life. I don't know how that was possible, but I re-experienced every scene. I not only experienced my own thoughts and feelings, but also how my actions affected other people. God was showing me what mattered most, how I loved and treated those around me. Now, there is I want to go through two more examples here. In each case, one is where someone who had lived a very good life and their experience of seeing that with God, and the other one who had lived a pretty wretched life, one of the evildoers who Jesus was warning in the gospel. So this lady was already there in heaven. She said, once there, the most all-encompassing feeling of love overwhelmed me. My human words cannot accurately describe the enormity of the feeling that filled each cell in my body with more love than is imaginable. This love was so tangible I could touch it. While I could not see a physical image, I distinguished this brilliant presence as the voice I had heard all my life. It was God. The presence was so powerful and intense. And then she goes on to have one of these life reviews, seeing everything. I saw myself helping an elderly person with their groceries. comforting a friend in need, saying something kind to others when others were mean, standing up for the unwanted, advocating for those who couldn't find their voice, and being a patient listener to those who desperately needed to be heard. It was giving the homeless money when I didn't have money and to give, and putting others, often complete strangers, first over my own needs, because my heart told me it was the right thing to do. It was having a huge heart for all the animals, loving them, giving them love, rescuing and caring for them in times of need. I felt the immediate effects of my words, thoughts, and actions on others. Words, thoughts, and actions that affect on the others. Our thoughts count. A great many of these things I did not remember because I had done them because most of these things I did when no one was looking, but God was looking. I understood that the moments that these things were displays of love, kindness, and compassion, they were the only things that mattered in God's eyes. They all required love. Love was the answer to everything. I mean, that should be a motivation, right? Of all the good deeds, like God sees them. There's not a single thing that is lost. The effort we make in our thoughts to think well on others and ask God to bless them and take care of them. I mean, just even the thought, like, can you spare a thought for somebody? Now, the next one was an individual, Rajiv, who was having a severe infection, and he himself was a doctor, and lived a pretty cruddy life, and it's a massive infection throughout his whole body cavity. So anyways, he pops out of his soul, and he's there in the hospital room, and he said he could see everyone there. He heard the crude jokes that some of the other doctors were saying. He could see he was there next to his mother and sister, who were like in India on the other side of the country. He was like present to them at the same time and could hear their conversation. From there, now this is him. So he didn't go straight to heaven. It says, from there, my conscience traveled to different realms. The first realm I traveled to was very hellish. It was pitch dark. There were thunderstorms, lightning, very dark entities running about. I could hear other souls crying and wailing. I was taken there kicking too. I didn't want to be there. There was a smell of burnt flesh. And then I was wondering, why am I here? What have I done? This gentleman is Hindi, a Hindu, and he was thinking to himself, what is my karma? Like, am I going to be reincarnated, or what's going to happen? He heard a voice inside, you have lived a very loveless life. I had been mean. I wanted to get ahead in the life no matter what it cost me. If I had to step on others' toes, I did not mind doing that, and I was not good to my patients. A 70-year-old lady came to my office for arthritis medicine. She wanted to talk to me because her husband was dying of lung cancer, but I just wrote the prescription in 2 minutes and walked away. I treated her like a disease, not as a human being. And then these two angels, it's Gabriel, and I think he mentioned that, I didn't have this part copied here. The two angels guided me towards a place that was very beautiful, of meadows and roses of different colors, and there was a mountain streams there, a gentle breeze blowing at it. It even had a sweet smell, and from there I was in the presence of a light being. It was like 1,000 suns all at the same time, but it was not hurting my eyes. The closer the angels flew to the being of light, Rajiv noticed that the angels became more and more translucent until they nearly disappeared. What a detail. Once in the presence of the divine light, Rajiv was bathed in love. I knew I was loved, and that the light being knew more about me than I about it. I was wrapped in its total knowledge. It began gently whispering in my ear. And the words started, pure love. I don't know what else to call it. pervaded everything. You need to look at your life one more time, the being told him. The divine being wanted Rajiv to understand the challenges, the changes he would need to make. With that, Rajiv experienced a painful life review, covering things he was not proud of. Rajiv felt undone, full of shame in the presence of this loving being, and he feared he might be sent back to hell. We have the story here, so he wasn't sent back to hell, he was sent back here, and had a massive, massive change in his life. There, just one last one. I could read these all day long. I don't know. Get the book. Imagine the king. What was the name of it? Here it is. Imagine the God of Heaven, near-death experiences. John Burke, 2023. Kindle. You can listen to it on Spotify if you have the paid version. That's where I was listening to it. I don't get any money for any of those promos. But I get grace points. So this last one is a gentleman, Cedric. He's here in the States, a Christian, a Catholic. And Cedric had also lived a very wretched life. And it says, at 20, living the life of partying and dating women, Cedric got his girlfriend pregnant and they chose to abort the baby. Guilt overwhelmed him. He knew he had separated himself from God. And a year later, he sought forgiveness and searched for God. One night as he drifted off to sleep, Cedric claims he had a near-death experience. See, it doesn't always necessarily have to be a medical thing. It can be like just going to sleep and having this. He left his body and moved upward towards a tunnel. The interesting thing about this is that I didn't want to go through the tunnel. I thought, oh no, because I knew already I was not ready to come before God. This portal to eternity is a place that transcends time. God's love for me, before I knew it, I was at the end of the tunnel. Suddenly, I found myself in the presence of God, standing before the throne. The only way to describe it was living, luminescent light that embraced me. God's love for me was intensely personal. I sensed that I was known and loved even before I was born into this world. Remember, he's arriving there with a really heavy heart. His love was unconditional. God's care and affection for me were not conditioned on my goodness. Rather, there was such a powerful, pulsating goodness radiating from God that was overwhelming. God's love is affectionate, very intimate and personal. I realized that not only did God love me, he was in love with me. What I mean that is, he knew me through and through and still had his heart set upon me. I remember being amazed at how vulnerable and intimate God wanted to be. I remember thinking, he loves me so much it's scary. Scary is a strange adjective to use about love, but I was overwhelmed with the intensity and intimacy of God's love. So he also experienced a life review, going back over these incidents. As I stood before God, I experienced a life review. In a flash, my life was simply laid bare. There was no hiding, no pretending, no putting on. There were no excuses to make. I drank, smoked marijuana, dated, partied with girls. I didn't pray or attend mass. I didn't give to anyone but myself. My life revolved around me. I was all about me. I was selfish, narcissistic, and stingy. As I stood before love itself, I realized to my shame that I wasn't even close to being a loving person. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is selfishness. Love is generous, cares. Selfishness is stingy and cares only for itself. So he had this beautiful experience. And notice, like, he's arriving with all these sins on his heart and knowing that he's guilty of these things. And what's God's action? It's to embrace him. Another part, he talks about just being like just so overcome by the fact that why would he even want to do this for me? I don't deserve it. But obviously that wasn't the point. Then he comes back to here and afterwards he had, so through other events, he ended up becoming a Catholic priest. He's a Passionist priest, and I'm not sure, we could probably track him down somewhere today, join the Passionist order. And but anyways, it's so important for us to keep this in mind, that our time here on earth, this is the lesser reality, and the greater reality is eternity, being in the presence of God. And it's always right here, it's right next to us, yet we're not always conscious of it, and we're like ignoring it or setting it aside. And our Lord's response is always to call out to us, inviting us to love. Because that's the only thing he wants to do for us and give to us. And what most matters in this life written here is how much we love. How generous are we? Everything else doesn't matter, as long as whatever circumstances God has us in our life, single, married, widowed, rich, poor, having suffered great, terrible persecutions and personal affronts and injustices, or having just had the most beautiful, wonderful life. Either one, it doesn't matter. God's just inviting us to love in those circumstances. And that's the only thing that we take with us into eternity. So we'll continue here with the Mass. Imagine the God of Heaven, John Burke. Free on Spotify if you got a paid account. It's worth it. I'm only halfway through the book, by the way. But I was just like, this is the best stuff. We gotta share this and remember that this is these experiences. Again, take anything with a grain of salt if it's. But at the same time, I think we can trust in God's God communicating with us.